it's Karen Webster, and welcome to the Payments.com podcast series on the facts and the fiction of artificial intelligence. With me today, I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Akli Ajudate, the CEO of Brighterion. Akli, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, Karen, for having me.
This is our third installment of our conversation about AI. And we've had a pretty broad sweeping conversation about many facets of AI, where it can be helpful and where some of the misperceptions of the application of AI happen to be focused. This episode is going to talk about something extremely important and very relevant, and that is AI and anti-money laundering, AML, a topic of conversation that is certainly in the news around the world. So first, Happy New Year, Akli. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you too. Thank you.
So New Year, and as I mentioned, a really increased focus on AML around the world. I read that it is the first order of business that the Senate Banking Committee here in the U.S. is going to take up when it's back in session. There have been a number of news stories about the Mexican regulators and the banks being deficient in AML. The UK has certainly beefed up its requirements around AML starting this year. And there have been a number of very public exchanges in the media about large companies, names that you know, Western Union, Citibank, and so forth, who've been fined for AML lapses. So clearly, it's a top priority, yet there is something missing. Akli, can you reflect on why it's a hot topic and what's missing?
I think it's a hot topic because it touches everything. AML means you're dealing with crimes, you are dealing with terrorism. And you mentioned, the fine, So according to the data from Boston Consulting, the banks have paid $321 billion in fines since 2008. So this is like for money laundering, market manipulation, and terrorist financing. So we all know, for example, remember J.P. Morgan Chase had to pay more than $2 billion for the when the violation of the Bank Secrecy Act, because the did not report suspicious activity, they were linked to Bernie Madoff. Mm-hmm. It was one of the biggest Ponzi scheme, and AML was in it too. Mm-hmm. You have also HSBC that paid close to $2 billion to the U.S. because they were used by the drug cartels in Mexico. I think the Sinaloa in Mexico, the Colombian, mm-hmm. and they moved like $880 million using HSBC. So what, think about the reflection about the bank. And even recently, just you were mentioning Europe, Deutsche Bank was fined by 500 million pounds by the British and the American because they were literally helping the Russians to move over $10 billion. So, wow. I think AML is probably the most. It's very difficult, but it just get involved with the bad guys. It's the way for terrorists to get funding, and mm-hmm. it's a way for drugs too that kill our kids, that destroy the economy. AML, indirectly, every one of us pay the price of when AML happens, when money laundering happens. So this is why, as you said, more and more governments around the world are, adding new regulation, pushing for the next generation technology to be sure that finally we will have something that will detect and prevent money laundering.
So I take the point that the regulators are coalescing around this and wanting to be more stringent and put systems in place that allow that to happen. But it's not as if there aren't systems in place today, and clearly these banks don't want to participate in these nefarious activities or be an unknowing corroborator of it. So why is it happening? What's not in place that should be, that would help everyone achieve the same common goal, which is to stop it?
I think obviously the, as you said, the banks, they really invest, I can tell you, billions around the world for AML and compliance. So usually if the legacy technology were working, the banks would not end paying, you know, right, the billions of fine and more than fine, you know, the reputational damage, loss of partners, you know, all the, it's not easy for a bank when they are fined. But the thing is, it's exactly the same. I think AML, it's still like in the middle age when you think about technology. They still use like the business rules. So you have this, you know, countries decided to create in France in 89, something called Financial Action Task Force. And the Financial Action Task Force had guidelines. You know, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. So what the legacy solution are is pretty much a set of rules that try, quote unquote, to match the guidelines for the Financial Action Task Force. The problem is when we talk to customers that use these systems, 99%, I repeat, 99%, 99% are false positive.
Wow.
So, yes, it's 99% are false positive. So, literally, they are useless. But as you said, still, bank invest millions and millions of dollars in this system. And the reason is, like, because, you know, these solutions are siloed. And the rules are not designed to detect money laundering for many reasons. The first one is we don't have historic. There's not a lot of historical data about AML. Second, you can't. You know, the when you deal with AML, because when you have a lot of false positive, the overload from the system makes them useless. Like, it's just impossible. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about companies using it, thousands and thousands of people, because it's a manual process. So it's just and I can give you an example. For example, just show you how the AML don't work. Let's suppose, so for example, you have a, because there's a huge link between AML and terrorism. Mm-hmm. If you think about the FARC, for example, which is in Colombia, they grew up where there is the cocaine. You go to Afghanistan with Al Qaeda; they are connected to the criminals. So you have because criminals like terrorists because terrorists create chaos, and obviously terrorists like use money laundering to fund themselves. So, just to give you an example why the existing technology that don't work. For example, let's say a person that wants to join ISIS, which is, of course, the worst terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. So let's say they receive a wire in London for, let's say, £100. Then they go to Turkey before they join, in general, Syria. And they remove the money from Turkey. And then you find, for example, in Syria or Lebanon. So if you think about all the activities, none of them will trigger a suspicious activity. But when you combine them together, a real intelligence system will say, wow, this is some anomaly. But the rules cannot do it because you have to think about all this scheme before and you write rules for them. I tell people it's like thinking about all the possible malware. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of malware created each day. So how many people you will have to sit there writing all these rules to, let's say, deal with malware? It's just impossible. So the AML, it's the same thing. And what I find when, you know, I work with the head of Interpol, so Ray Kendall, Secretary General of Interpol. Interpol is aware of, with his experience of money laundering. Guess what? Money launderers actually hire PhDs PhDs, and they are very patient. They use very sophisticated schemes. It's like a movie scenario.
Wow.
So when you do an AML, it's not just, one thing. I'm not just showing up with a bag of money. It's I know you, Karen, who knows another person, who knows another person. They take the time. So they try to do everything they can to look legitimate. Mm-hmm. I tell people this, you know, AML, you are not looking for a needle in a haystack. You are looking for a needle in a set of needles that all look the same.
Wow.
So it's really, really difficult. And the legacy technology that the banks are investing in just don't work.
I was going to ask you about that, because you described a very sophisticated business. Obviously, if you're hiring PhDs to help interpret, analyze existing business rules that I think are probably common knowledge, and then figure a way around it, business rules just can't cut it anymore. So the business of itself of money laundering has become quite sophisticated. So what kind of sophisticated solutions can help us crack the code here?
Yeah, by the way, what I said, you know, when you deal with AML, it's not looking for a needle in a haystack. I said it's really looking for a needle in a set of needles that look the same. And the money laundering use real estate to create companies, use stock markets. So it's really, really the, I think the, when the first, the person, for example, the Colombian, one of the cases in AML, the guy went to Harvard. Hmm. And he had a few people that went to Purdue University. So they use all these, as you said, PhD smart people to try to go over the classical system. You don't need a PhD to rule system are really basic. So now, how artificial intelligence can help? You know, what is the how do you try to detect and help? So it's like it's all about designing what we call the something specific to every like customer, the account, the branches, by detecting anomalies. The key is to detect anomalies without hard coding it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, for example, create unique behavior for each account, for the customers. The relationship. See, you can with AI make fine-grained judgment about the activity associated with the account, which is, by the way, impossible to do with mm-hmm. with rules.
Mm-hmm.
The AI, for example, should say by itself whether you expect this person to make this wire for this amount with this frequency. Have this happens before? Am I expecting this? And then we use what we call unsupervised learning, because we don't have a lot of historical data
mm-hmm.
related to AML, and also because AML, it's like a Hitchcock movie, it's like a scenario, mm-hmm. many people getting together, and their main job is try to get undetected. So they are doing everything, they know all the rules, and they will never do anything that violates one single rule. So what you use here in supervised learning, we try to look for, build clusters, look for account, individual, organization, link analysis, relationship. So it's like looking really to every activity and try to see what is this activity linked to Is it legitimate? So we, for example, you can, what we offer ourselves, we call it temporal clustering and associative learning to help track, for example, the, let's say the account activity, the speed, the volume, the, is this financial activity and consistent with the occupation, like even going to the ATM, the deposit of a person, how are we reacting, like a dormant account that exists a lot in AML, inflow and outflow of the money, when people deposit money, are they moving wire, the multiple cash deposit. There is so many techniques, like when you receive like money from multiple unrelated parties, when you use multiple personal or business accounts, look to what happens to this day, the week, the year, how do you, what is the senior relationship, dealing with charities. So there is so many ways, so many techniques that the people that do money laundering can use. You have to have a 360 degree mm-hmm. smart artificial intelligence technology that manages pretty much every single thing at an atomic level, at the level of transaction associated with time, with event, with relation. And you look for this temporal clustering, combine that with everything possible to link for hidden relationship to be able to detect any anomalies. So obviously it's very difficult to explain just mm-hmm. like this, but the power of artificial intelligence is literally way, way more sophisticated than rules, because for the first time, you don't need to think about all the scenarios and try to think about them. And write rules, you let the artificial intelligence help you. I will give you an example that we used in AML that helped us detect something. Without even talking about the real business, because we are not allowed through the NDA to talk about it. But let me give you an example. Suppose you have, let's say, two pizzerias in San Francisco. And obviously, legacy technology would think, if two pizzerias are in the same area, you may expect them to behave the same way. Absolutely not, because you can have one pizza that's more, popular and sells thousands of pizza a day, and then you can have another one that only sells 200 a day. Mm-hmm. But one thing is important, though, the way we did it in the other business, without even knowing, actually, it doesn't matter how much pizza you sell, but if the weather is bad, if the Giants are playing a game here in San Francisco, if it's before taxes or after taxes, if it's holidays, it doesn't matter what the activity is, how much they sell, but the behavior, the change of behavior should be the same. Mm-hmm. You may expect, it's like ice cream. If the weather is hot, you sell more ice cream. Mm-hmm. If the weather is cold, you don't sell that many ice mm-hmm. cream. So in this business, our technology, again, it was not pizzeria, it was more sophisticated than that. Without even quoting anything, we were able to look over the patterns related to type of business. And because the other patterns were changing, again, related to weather and other conditions, mm-hmm. like if there was events or not events, if it's holiday. Mm-hmm. And we find that three businesses never followed that. Hmm. They were just a shell. Hmm. They pretend to be, but they were not. So this type, think now about the millions of possible businesses that exist, the millions of relationships possible, how much you can code in rules. But if you apply the artificial intelligence, if you let the AI have these thousands of eyes looking over, the system will detect things, again, that you did not code. That's the only way you can hopefully fight AML.
I have this visual of all of these little eyeballs sort of looking at millions and millions and millions of data points, trying to find these patterns. But how long does that take? You know, you talk about not having a lot of history to go on, and you're trying to find patterns and form these clusters and then suss out the nuances. How long of a process is this?
Yeah, this is I think, I don't want to make, you see, we are winning, pretty much every customer uses, recognize the value of our technology. I think we only do one thing, which is AI. I mean, everything I did in my life since I remember was artificial intelligence, and I have a team here of people that are way smarter than myself in the field. A lot of my ex-PhD students. And we designed a technology, we designed a platform that would allow us to pick any type of data, any type of source, and then every activity has to justify itself to be accepted by the others. So any wire, any move, it's not just the wire related to what we expect in the behavior for you, but literally what you expect in toward others. So it's when you deal with the artificial intelligence, you know, when you have to deal with all the different type of data, thousands and thousands of activity that can happen in the same day, it is impossible for a human to detect it. So the power of artificial intelligence is literally using this what we call supervised and unsupervised learning technologies to be sure that every activity is accepted not only by the where it's happening, but all the surrounding. And It's something we use in Homeland Security. You know, it's the same technologies because, as you may imagine, people, when they deal with, when you are fighting terrorism, you are not dealing with people that are the same as AML. They are trying to do everything they can to hide, and they are actually trained to hide. And we're very proud to say that artificial intelligence sometimes if not many times, is smarter than the criminals.
Well, let's hope so. I want to ask you, you mentioned they're trying to hide, and we can't talk about money laundering without, I think, touching on cryptocurrency and how that may or may not be a factor in as another data point or as another set of inputs to it, to examine, not suggesting that crypto is necessarily associated with nefarious activities, but we certainly know that Bitcoin is and has always been involved in those sorts of bad transactions on the dark web because of its anonymity. How does that factor into the models and the unsupervised learning, since it's relatively new ground that we're walking here with crypto? Is that something that you guys are paying attention to?
You know, you have a lot of these Bitcoins. I you know, for me, it's I do believe it's my view. It's I call it bit crooks. You know, it's just. It's ridiculous.
No, you know, no argument from me, Ockley. I call it the currency of crime.
It's exactly. It's the whole system there. The way it's designed, the way it's not. You know, when you get North Korea involved, you get terrorists involved. You get, I don't know how you can call that currency when you know that it's actually used and. Mainly the target for people that are trying to hide what they are doing, the objective there. But I think what they care the most about is, like, when you deal with wire transfer, you need to verify the information about the originator, like name, address, account number, bank routing number. You have to do the same thing for the beneficiary, you know, and obviously the information itself, you know, the date, the payment, the internal code, etc. And what you want to do is to be sure that none of this information can be just one address, and the address itself can may link to other people that are not impossible to perceive it just directly. I mean, we had some scenarios like where you try to find just one small link, then through that link you will go and little by little try to find relationships to organized crime or actually human trafficking. So the I think what people are looking for today is a technology where first you have to provide. For AML, you know, the regulator like to understand why you are making a decision. You have to justify why you are making a decision. So I'm not even saying that rules themselves are you don't need to throw the rules themselves, you know, not useful. But I think to really, really provide a comprehensive compliance solution, you have to start with prevention by dealing with what we call the KYC, which is KYC, know your customer. Mm-hmm. Be sure that whoever is involved within a bank is not in any way linked to any of this worldwide crime list. You know, you get the OFAC list, you get Her Majesty, every country has that. Mm-hmm. Not only the name, but any information in that list can be an address, a nickname, any type of information. That's number one. That's mm-hmm. what we tell our customers. First, we have to start with prevention. Mm-hmm. For that, we use, you know, phonetic algorithm, fuzzy logic, because when you deal with names, particularly from around the world, it's mm-hmm. it's really difficult for people even to write the name, understand it. So you have to use AI technology that the way you speak, the way you pronounce, if you say Ajouté Webster to a French guy or to an American guy, they would write it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So this level one is what's called prevention. Then you have to move to the detection by monitoring the activity. What you combine, as I said, for example, the business and fuzzy rules, but you have to reduce false positive, because you cannot deal with, you know, if mm-hmm. 10,000 alerts, you get one that's correct. Unless you turn the whole company to review that, it's useless. So you have to combine using artificial intelligence, like a smart agent technology, to reduce the false positive. And then you have to power it with the unsupervised learning to increase the detection. So that's the second level. And the third level is when it comes to reporting, because first you have to understand the reasoning behind the alerts for AML, and also to have a system that does what we call the SAR report, like mm-hmm. the suspicious activity report, that is required by to file when you find something suspicious. That also should be done in an automatic way. So I strongly believe that if you combine the existing, whatever the banks have, with power it with these few layers that will throw all this garbage out, which is the false positive, out, power that with the anomaly detection proven in, with the unsupervised learning, with a very sophisticated reporting system, it's the next generation solution that will not only help the financial institution reduce the amount of, false positive resources, and the most important is they will become compliant. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a customer when we went to their, I am not joking, Karen, they had over 40,000 rules.
Oh my gosh.
When we moved with our technology with the anomaly detections, we reduced the number of rules by 98%.
Wow.
They even have less than 100. And we powered it with our unsupervised learning technology. They moved with 1,000 of alerts a day to less than 200.
Wow.
Per day.
Wow. So I was going to ask you, what's the advice to the bank? You just described it. It's using what you have, but really providing this intelligent layer that can bring all of the right learnings to bear to eliminate the false positives and really put the emphasis on catching those transactions that need to be caught. So it's really about new technology, but also about new process, right? It's rethinking the process in the context of the new technology that can bring all of these things to bear.
Yeah, I think the AML cost, you know, we all see that it's increasing literally year over year. And the alert overload from this system is just unbelievable. It's just hard to believe. I mean, it's literally people will tell you the system is useless. I mean, they have to spend a lot of time to. It's just literally impossible. And then the manual process, the full time of people. Some banks, they have thousands of people in compliance, and as a result of all of that, they spend all these millions. Mm-hmm. They have all these people. They still get fined $2 billion. Mm-hmm. Something is, it's not even wrong. It's beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think more and more maybe the regulator will understand and come back with a recommendation of, using the next generation of technology that exists. When you put the power of real artificial intelligence that will allow you to remove all the noise from the alerts. That's the number one thing. First and foremost, reduce the false positive. Because when you reduce the false positive, you start turning the system to be usable. So the first one is you need to cut the false positive. There's no way a system is useful if you have more than 5% false positive. You should have less than 1%. Now we are talking about 99% false positive. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And then number two is to use the new set of technologies that will help people, you know, direct them to, as you said, the most important anomaly that they should really deal with to mm-hmm. become compliant. It's a, you know, technology changes all the time. You know, mm-hmm. there are cars that will tell you, hey, be careful, you are going to be close to the car, or if you go out of a line, it can help you correct the line. That's very, very simple. You know, mm-hmm. it's just an example about how everything is moving in technology. I think AML, in my view, we are in the middle age technology. Literally mm-hmm. nothing changed since the 70s. They are mm-hmm. still using the same rules, and you have all this... you have few, I would call them, they are companies that are lobbying to keep the system the same way, keep the banks bombarded with false positives so they can sell them more people, more consultants, expensive systems, update, let's write this rule, there's this rule to write again. And I think that's not the way you do the business. I think it's time today to move to the next generation AML solution, a global solution that powers, use whatever existed, but power it with this new generation AI to make the system not only usable, but in the end of the day, allow the financial institution to become compliant.
I think that's a great way to wrap usable, compliant, and compliant in a way that doesn't just prevent being fined, but really prevents very, 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 very bad people from doing very, very bad things. And that's really the ultimate price that I think everyone pays when these systems don't do what they need to do. Akhli, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. You bring such a great insight to all the topics around AI. This one in particular I thought was very fascinating. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.